Hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner, a weekly podcast brought to you by South Florida Charter Chapter of the International Coaching Federation. Our goal is to engage, motivate, and inspire. A lot has happened over the past few years, including the COVID pandemic, the global lockdown, civil unrest, climate change, and the Great Resignation. A half decade ago, we may have had a pretty good idea of what the world was going to look like. But now, things have changed, and we need to recalibrate and recalculate to find and define our new normal. Join me as we connect and collaborate with coaches, thought leaders, visionaries, and futurists as we explore opportunities and possibilities as we reimagine the future. Hello, I'm Jimmy Glenos, Vice President of Programming for ICF South Florida, and welcome to the Coach's Corner. Before we get into our conversation, I'd like to invite you to visit our ICF South Florida website so you can learn more about our benefits and program offerings. To learn more, visit icfsouthflorida.org and check out all of our calendar of events to see what interests you and join us as a guest. When you go to register, remember to use the promo code PODCAST. I hope to see you soon at our next event. This week, I sit down with a lifelong friend of mine, me. I've been doing this podcast for just under a year now, and it's time to turn it over to my good friend, Eric Gorris. You may remember Eric from one of the earliest episodes we did here on the Coach's Corner. He's an executive coach who works with business owners to achieve peace of mind through revenue and profitability. I'm so excited to watch Eric take this podcast to new heights and reach an even larger audience. Thank you, Eric, for your support and your leadership. In our conversation today, we discuss the who, what, how, and why of coaching, the leverage of incremental change, and even the Army's slogan used in the 1980s. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you do too. And now, my conversation with me and Eric. Eric, it is so good to see you, buddy. How are you, man?
Jimmy, it's so good to see you, man.
Awesome. Well, I am pretty excited about this interview. I've been wanting to do this for a while.
Yeah, not as excited as I am. This is a pretty cool opportunity. I mean, this is an opportunity to interview the interviewer here for Coach's Corner. This is exciting times.
Yeah, I'll say I'm pretty excited about it. I'm handing over the reins.
So today we're going to be talking to you. I mean, after all the interviews you've done, I think it's only fitting that we turn the microphone around, so to speak, and get to know you a little bit better, Jimmy. So thank you for being here. And thanks for being awesome and being your awesome self.
Well, that's enough flattery for now. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Tell us, Jimmy, tell us about yourself. How did you get here? How did you get into coaching?
Yeah, so it's I will preface it with this. I've basically, my set of careers has been the accidental X. Early on was, ran a restaurant for a number of years. At the end of that, I went to go work for another company. And when I got there, got in just as a server, bartender, and went through the training program. And then about 2 months later, not even 2 months, like 3 weeks later, the head trainer says, "Hey, would you like to be a trainer?" And I was like, "Well, I'm pretty new here. I don't know if I'm ready to be the trainer." He's like, "Well, yeah, but you kind of got to, you know, you got a knack for it." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." So the accidental trainer at this restaurant group. And so did that. And so that was pretty exciting. And then after some amount of time, got tired of doing the restaurant. It's hard on the body. So got tired of doing that. And I'm like, I need a sit down job, and decided, hey, let's learn about computers and let's learn about networks and things like that. So went into that. And on a trip, I worked for a software company, and we put patient tracking software into emergency departments. So I was in Pennsylvania City, and there was a wicked snowstorm. They could not send the nurse out to do the training. And I said, "Well, I can do the training." And so they were like, "I don't know about that." And I said, "You can't send the nurse out for a few days, so let me give it a shot." And so I did. They were like, "Oh, that actually worked." So accidental trainer, it just happened there. And so it's kind of like kept on becoming this accidental thing that I was awesome at. And I don't give up. Like, I'm like, hey, I am resourceful as anyone. And so I'm going to make it happen. No matter what the circumstance, I'm going to figure out how to do this. And so years went on. I worked for a healthcare company, worked for a timeshare company, did all these different things, always working in learning and development and creating the path that I wanted. Just creating it, get a job and be like, okay, what do I want this job to really be? And then create it into that thing and then live in that new space. And then right around COVID time, just before that, I decided I'm leaving corporate world. I want to do my own thing. Let me try it out for a while. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to do my deal. And then COVID came and all of my contracts dried up from any learning consulting that I was doing, learning and development, leadership development, putting together learning management systems and whole systems for companies. And so I was like, all right, time to be resourceful again. Times are rough. People are going through some change. Oh, coaching. Well, that's something I've been doing for a long, long time, just not officially calling it coaching. And so I've got my training through IPEC, and I soon after that started rolling out coaching. So I do coaching now.
Excellent. Wait, so IPEC, so when did you make the transition? When did you go to school?
Oh, it was 2019, like right when, like as soon as COVID started, we in my training class, we were actually the first class, the first cohort that had to be trained fully remote because we weren't allowed to meet. We were going to meet at FIU down in Miami, and I was all excited about going down there and meeting with my cohort. There was about 30 of us in the class. And then about 3 weeks before we were supposed to start, they said, nope, we're not allowed to meet. We can't meet. So we're doing it remote. And so we did it all virtual. So we were the first virtual class for IPEC, which was kind of awesome. And it was amazing. Like, they did an amazing job. I think it's like 9 months. It's a long time. You get a ton of learning and so much opportunity for a coaching opportunity. And that's what I really needed, because I never did formal coaching. Like, I'm an instructor. So coaching and instructing are very different. Like, I like to tell people what to do. And coaching is the opposite. And so I thought, I really need some coaching on how to be a pure coach and not just a consultant who instructs people what to do.
Yeah. And that's a struggle I think so many of us go through when we're switching what we were before to the coaching we do now. Yeah. Stepping away from those previous roles. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that was the thing when I went into it too, they said, oh, what do you think is the most challenging thing? And I'm like, to not tell people what to do. That's going to be the hardest thing for me. And they said, oh, don't worry, we'll break you of that. I'm like, I'm pretty stubborn. I'm resourceful, but I'm stubborn. So I don't know. But yes, they did. So I'm a pretty good listener now.
Right. So that was the work of 2019 then, IPEC.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in 2020, now you're coaching?
Yeah. So 2020, I started coaching. You know, I got my I got my CPC, Certified Professional Coach, through IPEC. And I realized real quickly, I want to work with individuals, but I also want to work with corporations. And I had heard of ICF. I didn't really know much about it. So I learned a little bit about it, checked it out. And I was like, all right, that's one of the very, very few certifying bodies, credentialing bodies. So I should probably get my ACC, because if I want to get into a corporate situation with someone, I'm going to need to come with more credential than just this coach training program. And so worked to get the hours and take the test. And as I understand it, the test used to be really easy. Now it's really hard. And so got my ACC, and I think that was probably January of 2020. And so, so technically like a 3-year coach now.
Yeah. So that's the process then. So IPEC, the training, the ACC, credential through ICF. Very good. Those are two components of your coaching background. I think the third is your incredible involvement with the local chapter of ICF, ICF South Florida.
Yeah. That, I'm pretty resourceful, if not really resourceful. And so I wanted to make a point that if I'm going to join this organization of ICF, I'm not just going to join to get the badge on my email. I want to get involved. And so I was like, all right, oh, I do training and learning instruction. So programming, I thought, well, that's a perfect match, right? Because that's what I do. Not that I would come and profess to our audience, but I would love to find other people who do. And so in working with the current leadership, decided, hey, can I come on as a volunteer to this committee? And they said, sure, come on. And I dove right in and started getting speakers right away. And then just a couple of months later, they said, would you like to take over? I said, I guess. Accidentally falling into another leadership role, which I don't know what that says about me, but I guess it's flattering.
Yeah. Oh, I think it says a lot about you. And I mean, I know... I know that there's a tremendous amount of appreciation for what you do within the chapter. You bring in a tremendous amount of energy and enthusiasm to everything you touch within the chapter. So I'm sure if there was a standing ovation that could be had here in podcast land, I'm sure we would get it for sure.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, what have you gotten out of your time with ICF South Florida, just on that topic?
Yeah. So obviously I've made great connections with the local chapter members and the leadership here. Misha Gay Walker, our president, she and I walk very, very closely together. Programming is, yeah, obviously membership and outreach are critical to the success, particularly membership, because it all resides, it all boils down to membership. But programming is what's going to get people in the door. My goal for programming was not so much to let's get X number of programs, let's get these kinds of people, let's get this diverse slate of speakers and presenters and coaches. Yes, all of those things. But my main goal was, how do we grow membership? And so it was, we do all of these things to grow the membership, because that's what the chapter needs. That's what we all need. We all need to have a larger community so that we can collaborate and we can learn from each other. We can refer to each other. We can see each other and just celebrate the joy of coaching and living and leading and all those things that we do. The things that I've gotten out of it is I have met not only amazing people like you and Misha and Victor and Valeska and all the others, I've met master coaches from around the world, because that was my main task when I came on. Was Misha says, we're going to do a masterclass program. And so we named it Masterclass by Master Coaches. And I made it a point to get a very diverse, we go for, there's a lot of white women in the space of coaching. It just happens to have like the predominance is that. So we made it a point to get more men involved. So we found a number of men. It's also not very diverse in the way of color, certainly not in the United States. And so we wanted to get more color. So we did. We found Black men, Black women. This year, we're looking at bringing in some more Europeans and Asian folks and Latin. So we're really trying to get everybody from around the world. Like, my goal is to hit every single, not country, but every continent. We want to get people into that learning space, and just getting to meet all the greats out there, like Marshall Reynolds and Jean-Francois Cossin. I'd never heard of DJ Mitch, but she's incredible. She was a fill-in, a last-minute fill-in for us last December. But I mean, the list just goes on. There's so many people. I can't even mention all of them.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me how the enthusiasm, fuels further enthusiasm, So yes, as you and Misha Gay Walker, put together this program and put together this energy, we talk about driving membership, and that is true. We want to drive membership, not only about revenue, it's about participation, And, again, when we talk about the membership numbers going up the way they have, there is the membership fee, but there's also the bigger community. And you're right, there's so much we talk about. This comes up often. When you're doing coaching, when you are a coach, it can be at times a very lonely profession. So again, the community that the ICF South Florida brings to the forefront, I think, is incredibly important.
Yeah, totally. It can be lonely, particularly now, because so many of us work in a remote situation. I mean, you and I are meeting on Zoom. We're not in a room together. We're not sharing the microphone, or we're not at the same table. And coaching is, and I understand coaching was that way before, when there was only telephones and we didn't even have Zoom. But a lot of coaching has been traditionally very interpersonal and in the same room, three-dimensional. And we do a lot of 2D instead of 3D coaching now. So it is lonely. I mean, yeah, we're talking and I can talk with clients, but there's, for the most part, we're sometimes isolated. And so having this community of coaches, of like-minded people who want to share, and that's what our What Else Wednesday, that's another program we do, is What Else Wednesday. We just had one yesterday and we had a few people on, and it was great because we got to talk about stuff we don't always get to talk about. Our spouses don't want to hear about that stuff. Our friends, they're like, oh, okay, that's nice, but we need a water cooler for us. And so we're making that community happen.
Totally. And What Else Wednesday is a perfect example of that. I mean, it literally is, you know, anywhere between 4 and 14 people getting together and sitting down and, you know, having a powwow. It's pretty great.
Yeah,
hey,
I like those a lot.
So let me ask you then. So now moving to your coaching and the coaching you do, I want to get to the who and the what of the kind of coaching, the people you work with and the kind of coaching you do. But before we get into that, can you tell me, let's connect it to why. I mean, why the coaching? What drives you as a coach?
Oh, man. It's a, you know, people always say, oh, that's a great question. But that is a good question because I don't think about it very often. Like, I know this is going to sound not fantastic, but I just do stuff to do stuff because I love doing things. Why? I'm not sure. But I know I'm a lifelong learner. And every time I learn something, I feel like, wow, that's so awesome. Like, there's so much I still don't know. And not that I have to know everything, but I want to know a little bit about everything and a lot about a few things. And I just get a real charge out of it. And the way, kind of like the way I think about it is, do you remember back in the back in the 80s when the Army had that be all you can be program?
Yeah,
so I had the cap, like the recruiters came to the high school. And so I had the be all you can be cap and I wore that cap all the time. I didn't join the Army. I wasn't even really interested in joining the Army, but I loved that phrase. And so even as a, you know, as a teenager, 15, 16 years old, I loved that. And I was like, yeah, man, I want to be all I can be. And so that's what I love. So that's why I do it, because I want everyone to be all they can be. And if it's something different, be something different. If it's more of what you are, then be more of what you are. If there's something you feel is missing, go get it and let me help you. Like, you should be able to be all that you can be. And I want to help other people be all that they can be.
Can it be better said than that? I mean, that is the crux of coaching. I mean, right there. I mean, that is the mission. Be all you can be. So tell me then about the who and the what. Who do you like working with? What kind of stuff do you work on?
Yeah. So I work with emerging leaders and entrepreneurs. And so I help them approach and engage into change that is coming, and then learn how to embrace that change and knowing that change is going to come all the time. So if they're looking for a promotion, how do we get there? How do we get into the right mindset of being promotable? If they're an entrepreneur and they've got, it's brand new to them, they're trying to build a team and they don't know people relations, they've got awesome ideas, they've got plenty of money, they want to learn how to, they want to create this product or this service, whatever it is, but they're not people. They're like, my God, what am I going to do here? This is like, I'm losing my mind because I can't do this. All right, well, let's transform the way you think about this relationship with the people that you need them and they need you. So how are we going to get there? And so I help them embrace that change that's coming. I would like to see, I know everybody talks about embracing change or what, how do we deal with change? I would want to start everyone's day with, what can we change today? Instead of waiting it to come to you and being like, oh man, this is going to suck, we've got this new change, what can we change today? And then we can embrace whatever comes, because we're like, it might not be the thing we chose, but the more that we are willing to create change, the more we are able to accept change.
Yeah. And I love that. And you know, as we talk about change, change drives change. So, you know, there is this idea that, you know, if things are suboptimal or not where we need them to be, change something. You change things and other things change. There is that effect. I used to encourage my teams back when I was a leader, this idea of small changes over time add up to big changes. You know, so all these little things that we can do, a little adjustment here, a little attitude difference there, a little talk nicer to our people here, a little bit of forgiveness and self-compassion and whatever, like, you know, it adds up to big changes, especially across organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. It's all about the little changes, right? It's the only way you're going to get to a big change.
But, you know, interesting though, but I mean, like every big change, that's what we do, right? We break it down into manageable steps, bite after bite, step after step.
Big change is really, really hard.
Yeah.
Big change is super hard.
Tell me the how at which you coach. We've got the who, we've got the why, we've got the what. Tell me about the how. What kind of coaching style do you employ? How do you like to work?
I like to work. I work in a number of different ways. Some people come to me and they want to make incremental change, incremental improvement. And I'm like, okay, that's good. You know, if that's what you want to do to start, that's fine. And after a couple of sessions, what do you really, really want? So sometimes they come because they want to make incremental change. They want to be a better presenter. They want to be a better this. They want to do this, you know, whatever. And that's cool. I get it. Like, hey, that's a fantastic way to start. You got to start there. You know, not everybody has this burning platform that they've got to get off of. And then other people really want to change. I have a new person who I'm about to start working with, and they're an engineer. They're also an entrepreneur, and now they want to go into public service. So it's a really transformational move. They feel they need someone to help them get into that space. So, you know, some clients are going to be, you know, in regards to the how, some are going to be on a weekly. We're going to meet for a half hour every week. Some people like it every other week. So, you know, I've got my package will, the packages will change. Like everybody's going to get a unique package. The way that I really like to work is you hire me on retainer and you hire me for 6 months and you make up the cadence. You can call me every single day if you want. That is absolutely fine. And we'll make it work. Like some people, nobody needs it every day, but you never know. But I give them that option. I'm like, hey, you're buying me for 6 months. So yeah. Let's go.
You and I have that in common. We're the same thing. I'm of the same mind where it's like, go ahead, flat fee it, take as much as you want. If you're willing to work, if you're willing to call up every day and we're going to actually work towards something, then let's do it. You know, because yeah. I know that if we're going to be working together every day, 6 months from now, you're going to be someplace spectacularly yeah. different. I am also going to be someplace spectacularly different, and it's going to work for both of us. But
yeah, it's gonna be a two-way road.
Yeah And if you're willing to do the work, then I will absolutely meet you there. And I love that style and that way of forming the relationship. Hey, I did want to ask you though, it's interesting to you talked at the beginning there about how sometimes people will come, they just want to make little change. Do you try to say okay, but let's think of what the big change might be? Or do you sort of say, okay, we'll do it little by little?
What normally happens is I'll ask that, what do you really, really want? Like, what's driving this? What is making you want to do this little change? And sometimes they just want to do that. They just want to go little changes. You know, baby steps is fine. That's good. If you want baby steps, like, I'm cool with that. But if you want to make big change, let's start sooner than later. And then maybe those little improvements, we're finding our ways to time.
Yeah, and maybe through those little changes, we can discover that bigger changes are available to us as well. There is something to it, you know, great, like as we have said many times in this conversation, great things can happen as little changes add up, right? So this is something that's interesting. You don't have to wait until you've decided that you want to go from being, you know, a policeman to a fireman, or from a, you know, shop worker to an astronaut to engage with a coach. You know, you can just sort of say, you know, I can work with just a vague dissatisfaction. I'm vaguely dissatisfied about whatever, the way my business is running. Okay, we can work with that. What's vaguely dissatisfying you today? I mean, you know, where should we start? Yeah.
I want to swing for the fences. Like, you know, a single is good, a blunt is nice, but I'm looking at doubles, triples, and home runs. Like, that's what I want to see in my clients' lives.
What I like seeing is when the natural progression of them taking bigger swings as, you know, suboptimal becomes optimal, things become better, and now they are just naturally being more and more ambitious. That is very satisfying to me. I'm not forcing it. They're not forcing it. But it's just, you look around and it's like, gosh, the stuff you're doing today is, it could have never happened a year ago. You know, that's very fulfilling to me as a coach.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
Well, I got one last question for you. I know it's one of your favorites. Tell me, what do you see in the future of coaching?
I've heard so many answers to this question now. I'm having a hard time coming up with something original because I've heard 25 people answer this question for me. You know, most of the answers come around the same thing. You know, we want to see it more in corporate. We want to see it happen with younger ages. I would like to see it in younger ages. I know we don't have time to do this, but, you know, I'm a crisis counselor also, and I work for Crisis Text Line. And so as a crisis counselor on a texting platform, you can imagine there's a lot of young kids in there. What I've found in my work there is that, yes, they're in crisis. Many times are, you know, in a suicidal ideation and planning and beyond. You know, a lot of times it's an intervention. I shouldn't say a lot of times. Occasionally it's an intervention. But what I find is the most satisfying outcomes for the texter is when I use a little coaching. Like, yes, we obviously want to get them off the edge of the bridge. We want to help them, you know, get in a safe space. You want to go from a hot moment to a cool moment. You want to get safe. Once we're safe, I start coaching. Like, and it is transformational. And at the end of the, like, they're allowed to give feedback at the end. I mean, our call ends and they go on and they write, like, they send the feedback to us. They scrub it all and they send it to us. The thing that I hear in my conversations all the time is, you're not like the other counselors. Like, these people call in often and they're like, you're not like the other counselors. Like, you actually talked with me like you cared. Like, you were not trying to get me off the phone to save me. You wanted to see me do better. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I want, is to see you do. I want you to be all you can be. And if you kill yourself, you're not going to be able to do that. You've got to be, there's so much more that you can be. And so I bring my coaching into the counseling. And let me tell you, man, it's rewarding. It really, really is. So I would like to see more coaching in all aspects of everything that we do.
Yeah. And I really feel you when you talk about the younger, the better, because again, we're talking about the sooner. We all know that if we had been coached 10 years earlier, the things that would have been different in our lives, you know, because we can look back and say, geez, if I was coached through this particular situation or that situation, things would have been different. So yeah, the sooner the better. Jimmy Glenos, be all you can be.
Well, thank you. I will.
Hey, last question before we go. Jimmy, where can people find you? Where can they get in touch with you?
So you'll find me on LinkedIn. So just look up Jimmy Glenos on LinkedIn. I'm also every once in a while on Twitter or Instagram, and even on Facebook once in a while. You can also reach me at my website, which is jimmyglenos.com. So first name, last name.com. And of course, I do have, we didn't even talk about this, Unlock the Shortcut podcast, where you can hear me every couple of weeks talk about personal and professional development. So Unlock the Shortcut with Jimmy Glenos on all your favorite streaming platforms.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much, my man.
You're welcome, buddy. Take care.
All right, Jimmy, talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great conversation. It's always so educational and inspirational to talk with colleagues and learn from their experiences. That's why it's so important to continue to collaborate with others. And that is one of the best reasons to consider working with a certified coach. Working with a certified coach opens a whole new space to learn, grow, and design your future the way you want to. To learn more about what coaching is and how it can help you, please visit our website at icfsouthflorida.org. There you'll find educational resources, our events calendar, and our coaches directory. We hope you'll find exactly what you're looking for. And if you like what you see, consider becoming a member. We'd love to welcome you to our community. Well, that's it for now. Thanks again for joining us in the ICF South Florida Coaches Corner. Until next week, take care and be well.